evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den on WTBQ at 93.5 FM, 11:10 AM, or WTBQ.com. Or perhaps you're listening to the replay of the show on Facebook. If you'd like to email the show, you can email us at sidesplitting at Yahoo or at Davin Rosenblatt on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined today in studio by my guest, the very funny comedian Johnny Watson.
Hello, hello, everybody.
That is what Johnny Watson sounds like saying, hello, hello, everybody.
It's my sexy voice.
Great. People are driving off the road right now.
Whatever gets you ratings, my friend.
Yeah. Listen, if your voice gets me ratings, we're just going to have a loop of you going, hello, everybody.
I don't mind. I need to get my voice out there anyway, so it sounds great.
Yes, this is all publicity for Johnny.
And it's all about me.
And he thought Orange County would be the place to go.
I love it up here. I love driving up here. It was just beautiful all the time.
It is very nice.
I love it up here.
So you found your way. Last week I had Dennis in here, and he drove off mountains and into pastures of cows.
Yeah, well, he has to stop every five feet anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, we didn't get into that, but yes, Dennis has a situation where porta potties are a plus.
Hey, he should do a sponsorship for, you know, they should sponsor him, the porta potty.
The porta potty
should sponsor his. He should put together a comedy tour, be like him and I don't know, a couple other guys who have the same type of issues.
I think Charmin should probably get in on that.
That would
too.
Be a great. That's a great thing for them as well. Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. The show is like 2 minutes in, and we've already gone into the toilet, and not even real toilet.
Well, not and figuratively.
Figuratively.
Yes.
Yes. And enjoy your dinner, everybody. Well, I'm going to continue with John in a couple minutes. I got a lot of things I want to talk about with Johnny, and I listened to his show Watson and Watson, which is an internet radio show. So I know Johnny has a lot of very good opinions. Johnny is now just quietly applauding that I plugged him. But anyway, before I go on. With that, I feel I owe you, the audience, an explanation, because I'm sure a lot of you were expecting to hear Davin and Cisco on the radio, because that is the show that I used to be a part of. In a nutshell, there were issues bubbling beneath the surface for weeks between Cisco, JP, and myself, and unfortunately, last week it all came to a head. There was a hope that we could all meet, sit down, put our differences aside, and go on with what I think was a pretty good little radio show. But in the end, it was decided for the best of everybody that we would go our separate ways. So I know and I'm sure everybody here at WTBQ, wishes JP and Cisco the best of luck, and certainly appreciate all the work and contributions that they put into the show. Now, as far as me and this time slot, like I said, it's a new show, Davin's Den. It's relaunch. It's going to be me, and I'm very fortunate. This week I have Johnny in. Last week I had Dennis Ross, and I am lucky that I have a lot of very talented friends who are comedians and have a lot of experience doing radio. So every week I'm going to be bringing in different guys and have some fun with them. And if something sticks, we get a new team, great. If not, I'll just continue on that format. But the one thing that has not changed, even with the name change, is we are here to entertain you for an hour, and that is going to be the goal. But now back to you, Johnny, because it is all back to you. Thank you for coming.
Oh, no, my pleasure, man. I look forward to, it's always fun to come up here and do that. And we haven't hung out in a while, so this gives us an opportunity to just do a little us time.
To hang out in a brightly lit room with white walls and microphones.
This is great. I mean, this is way different than my living room.
Well, yes, but your living room, I'm sure, has better catering.
I don't know about that. You haven't had my mother's cooking.
But I've had your cooking, and
yes,
you're a pretty good cook.
There we go.
Now, John, last week, and actually for weeks leading up to it, we were talking about the end of the world.
Yes.
The rapture.
The rapture.
Harold Camping predicted the end of the world last Saturday night, and we're all here. Well, some of us are here. You and I are here.
Yes.
Some other people did not make it through the rapture.
Right.
And thank goodness. Now, John, around 6 o'clock when this was all supposed to take place, the sky over my house in Warwick, New York, was getting very dark.
Right.
And the wind was starting to pick up. And for a few moments there, I had thoughts that, maybe I should have prepared
for
this.
Well, a lot of things happened that day. I mean, I'm not saying the guy was right, but let's be honest. It wasn't a home run, but it was definitely a foul tip. We had tornadoes.
He got a piece of the ball.
He got a piece of the ball. We had tornadoes. We had earthquakes. We did have some things that go on a lot normally, but they seemed to be a little bit bigger that day. So I'm not.
Do you really think they were bigger, or just that we were paying attention?
I think they were bigger. I'm just letting you know. I mean,
what, were you scared?
I was praying.
Were you really praying?
I was repenting.
5:59, you're in the living room on your knees?
5:59, 59. I was in the living room on my knees
praying.
Did it get cloudy in New Jersey where you were?
It did. It got very. It was very interesting.
So did you have that like moment? You go, crap! I can't believe this is gonna happen.
I did have that, and I immediately called my pastor friends.
Did you really?
I did. I said, I'm with you guys. If anything goes down, I am with you. And then my friend started to reveal some of the things I shouldn't have known, and I said, okay, I'm not with you anymore.
This is getting a little too uncomfortable.
It was getting uncomfortable.
See, I hedged my bets, John. I mean, last weekend I took some gigs that I really didn't think were gonna happen. Right. Like on Saturday night, a Knights of Columbus.
Yeah.
On a Sunday afternoon, a show for Indian high school graduates, and I really didn't think Sunday was gonna happen.
Right.
So I really wasn't worried about that gig. But then I had to go to the Knights of Columbus on Saturday, and I think, you know what? What better place for a Jew to be than a Knights of Columbus?
Sure.
But I still hedged my bets because I thought, well, you know what? Maybe if they get raptured up to heaven, I can follow along with them.
Well, you would because you're part of the chosen people.
Yeah, but it wasn't our guy predicting it. Our guy wasn't predicting
it. But he's predicting the whole – I mean, he's predicting the apocalypse. And in the apocalypse, your people – why, I don't know, get a free ride.
Well, we deserve it.
Well, all right.
Listen, have you seen the real estate we have? Not very good.
That's another show to debate on, okay?
But, John, see, I did not have the optimism that you have, Johnny.
Yes.
So I kind of hedged my bets. And you can ask Joe Curry, who will be here next week, actually. I was actually, for this Knights of Columbus gig, where most of the people were seniors, I was actually wearing a Motley Crue t-shirt.
Right.
With 666.
With the devil. What is that one thing? The shout at the devil?
Shout at the devil. Shout at the devil. It was a Motley Crue t-shirt with 666 on it. And it was with Aerosmith. They did a concert called Route of All Evil. And Joe's like, what are you doing? Right. How can you wear a devil to the Knights of Columbus? I said, listen, Joe, there's a chance I don't get up to heaven with these fine folks here. So I'm betting if I go to the other place, Satan's probably a fan of Motley Crue. Maybe this will help me a little bit.
Help you out. Did you wear the cowboy hat?
I did wear the cowboy hat.
I don't know if Satan's into cowboys, but, you know, at least you got half of it covered.
So that's listen, I was just hedging all my bets.
You're taking care of everything.
I mean, fortunately. and then there was a moment, this is truth, it was such a weird show. And these people, they were so great, but they were very old and everything. And Joe Curry's on stage, and he fell through the stage. It was like
the stage opened up.
And I'm like sitting in the back and I'm watching this and go, well, you know what? Maybe the end of the world is coming. Maybe the earth is opening up and it just came late and I don't have to go on. But no, it was just a really cheap stage.
Joe Curry was the sixth seal.
He was the sixth seal, which I think Disney now owns. Did you hear this?
What?
You know, SEAL Team 6.
Yes.
It's a different type of seal, I guess.
But that's okay. It's a good segue.
That's what I did. SEAL Team 6, you know, the ones who got Osama.
Right.
Disney tried to copyright that.
It's a Disney movie.
Well, they were trying to.
Right.
Disney was trying to copyright it, but they just today.
Right.
They took it back because the Navy was going to protest them. That I really don't think it want to piss off the Navy.
Well, or Disney.
There's Mickey, you know, sitting in the castle. All of a sudden, he gets one right in the eye.
Right.
That's not good for the kids.
Well, who would have played? I guess we would have had The Rock. Because he's like now the big Disney guy.
The Rock would have been the head seal?
The Rock would have been in charge of SEAL.
If you smell what the seals are cooking.
Your boy passed away too. Macho Man.
Oh, yeah. Were you a Macho Man fan?
No.
Did you like wrestling?
No. I think it's. I was wondering if he's faking his death.
No.
A little worldwide wrestling humor for you.
Yeah, he died. For those of you who don't know, he died in a car crash, hit a tree, and I guess his neck snapped into it.
I will say this, though.
Nothing on that?
What'd you say?
Snapped into Slim Jim?
Snapped. Well, you didn't say snapped into a Slim
Jim. Yes, I said I guess his neck slapped into it.
His neck, okay, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the next comment I was going to make.
Oh, please. Let's bring on this comment.
I'm sorry, but that's a funny comment. Maybe we can back up on that. That's funny. Maybe they can edit that out and put it back in.
Yeah, the high-tech editing here. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
The thing, I will say this, though. I've never been a fan of wrestling. My family, growing up white trash, of course, love the wrestling, my grandfather and everything. But I will say, they are some of the most phenomenal athletes you will ever come across. I don't care what anybody says. And I don't care if it's phony or whatever. These guys are amazingly skilled in what they did. And it's interesting because I guess he suffered some of the same injuries that, say, like a boxer suffers. They actually wanted to examine his brain because I guess they found, like, in boxers and, like, even some of the football players. From the concussions.
Yeah,
Yeah, some of the shrinkings of the brain is shrinking, which is causing these guys to have, like, was it dementia and also heart attacks?
See, I hadn't heard that he was suffering from any of that.
Absolutely.
Now, I know they said it was possibly a heart attack, which, you know, led him off the side of the road. There was no alcohol or anything like that.
Right. But no, it's been, and so these doctors are really looking into this because you think about all the pounding that these guys take. And I mean, you know, we've watched the steel cage matches. You know, you could say it's
dysphonia. Did you ever play wrestle as a kid?
Of course I did. Of course I did.
We used to climb on my neighbor's fence and come off the top rope. Yes. Have you ever been camel clutch? Do you know what a camel clutch is?
I do know what a camel clutch is.
That is a very painful maneuver.
I wish this wasn't a family show because I tell you. Yeah. I've been killed. Yes.
That's a different type of camel and a different type of clutching.
I've been camel clutch before. But I have been, and it's fun, but to really, at the level that these guys do, it's amazing. I mean, you saw the movie The Wrestler, right?
Great movie.
And to me, in my opinion, not far from the truth.
My first experience play wrestling, again, we're little kids. It's me, my friend Jason Napolitano, and Elias Muscobe. We were playing on the side of the house. And there's a move called the Atomic Drop, where you pick somebody up, and you pretend to drop them, you know, crotch first, on your knee.
Right.
I didn't know it was pretend, and I crotched my friend Elias.
Ah.
Yeah, he was not pleased.
No. Is he still walking?
With a higher voice, yeah. But, you know. But I mean, that's what happens when you have, you know, fourth graders, you know, pretending to wrestle.
Well, you ever play King of the Hill?
Sure.
King of the Hill's basically wrestling. I mean,
I don't remember a steel chair on King of the Hill.
Well, but I used to do a move called the Flamingo, and what it was...
That's a very gay-sounding move.
But it was, and I don't even know why I called it Flamingo.
Because you're very gay.
But these guys would start, you get on top of the hill, and... You know, the idea, of course, was not to be thrown off. And what I would do, like, these guys would come up, like, say, three or four at a time, and I would just launch my body where it was vertical. Is it vertical?
Yeah. Horizontal.
Horizontal, thank you. And I would just yell out, Flamingo, as a flying body press. A flying body press, yeah, but I called it the Flamingo.
How old were you?
Probably 24.
No. And the six-year-olds, they would just get flat.
They're tough. There's a couple. Don't listen. Those six-year-olds are not as weak as people think they are.
That's why they're coming at you four at a time. So you were a good athlete. You launched yourself.
I launched myself.
Now, in wrestling, the move is that when you launch yourself, they are supposed to catch you to catch the fall, and you all tumble backwards.
Everybody tumbles backwards.
Did your friends catch you?
No, we never caught. We didn't know. We don't know the move.
So you just went splat.
Sure, absolutely.
And you wound up rolling down the hill.
Right.
Now, did your friends see? This is what I would have done. See, we didn't know each other when we were little kids. If I saw that coming out of me, I would have just stepped to the left.
Well, I'm quick. You couldn't. When you heard the word flamingo,
it was game over.
It was game over. It was petrified.
So basically, they ran down the hill.
It was kind of like an extreme terrorist yelling out all his little rhetoric. That's what you get petrified, and that's what happened.
Flamingo was the 80s version.
Yes, flamingo was the 80s version of that. Absolutely.
Wow, and you grew up in California?
No.
Oh, you grew up in Jersey?
Jersey, huh? Jersey.
I don't know, you live in California. No, so this was, this didn't make it to Bergen County, New Jersey.
No, well, we lived in Passaic County.
Well, yeah, Flamingo.
Passaic County is a little bit, we have a little bit different attitude in Passaic County.
Yeah, you guys are hardcore.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, you guys are screaming Flamingo at each other.
Bergen County is all mangoes and strawberries.
Meanwhile, I'm getting kicked out of seventh grade wrestling for DDTing a bully.
There you go. A bully? Well, at least you picked a good one.
Well, you know, he wasn't really everybody's bully, but he was my bully.
Right.
Not really bully, but just like would annoy me and say irritating things, and you know, it was real wrestling.
Right.
And he charged me, and his arm wound underneath my his head wound underneath my arm, and I fell backwards on his head like a DDT.
Right.
And he was crying.
Mm.
And that was the end. I won the match.
Right.
And I didn't get bullied anymore.
Well, I don't think he was no longer. He lost his bully credibility, street cred. He lost it.
To losing to me, you would.
Well, when you start crying as a bully, you can't cry as a bully.
Listen, if somebody drops you. Listen, two things make a bully cry: being dropped on the head or the flamingo.
Right, the flamingo. So flamingo brings back good memories.
So, all right, so let's try to bring this back around a little bit, because I wanted to get more into the rapture. Not that it didn't happen, although for some it did, I guess. Well, here, and it's funny, Harold Camping, the guy who predicted this, the 89-year-old who won the company, said that the rapture did happen, John. The end of the world is coming October 21st, but the rapture happened on Saturday, but it was an invisible rapture.
Right.
What do you think of that?
I think, listen to me, here's what I feel. All right, and this isn't trying to be funny, isn't trying to be anything. I think a lot of these people who predict these things, I think they actually believe it. They do believe themselves. And, you know, I think it's nuts because, you know, you can't predict
Well, the Bible says no man knows when the end of the world is coming.
Exactly. So to me, it's like it's just nonsense. But the scary part is you look at these people who are just out of their minds, like Harold Camping. Now, I've watched his show on late night. I didn't know he
really?
Was, yeah, I didn't know he's a lunatic.
Letterman's not on. You're watching Harold Camping?
You know, I usually use as a cleansing at the end of the day. You know,
really? That's what you do for a cleansing?
2 a.m. I had no idea. It was just
you don't
this
have
old
scrambled
guy.
Cinemax?
It was this old guy right, who's just going off, and I figured, yeah, let me listen to him. It's always good, you know. And you know, I never heard the message until it all started coming out. But the bottom line is, a lot of these guys, you look at your Waco guys, you know, your Koreshes, your Jim Jones. These people believe their stuff so much, and it's amazing to me how people.
John.
Yeah, follow them.
John.
What?
Invisible rapture.
I understand that. To him it happened.
He took a couple of days. That is the worst excuse ever.
It doesn't
ever.
Matter what the excuse is. To him it happened.
You know what? He should have called me. I have excuses.
I have an invisible rapture going on every single day in my life.
John, you see that hot model right there? She's right there. She's invisible.
She just left. She raptured.
She's like real models. Invisible doesn't work.
I it's just ridiculous. And these guys, you know, here's where my problem is with freedom of speech. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I think freedom, like, I'm not, as a comic, you're not supposed to be against censorship. But to me, it's like, you know, there's only some people should not be able to get away with talking, just talking. Because like, for example, Trump.
Like me.
Well, no. Well, yeah. Trump, for example. Trump, you think about it. Trump talks all this rhetoric, and which sounded great,
uh-huh.
But if you don't follow it up, now what he has done, he's divided. And I know we're talking about the rapture, but as an example,
maybe his hair got called up.
Yeah, his hair got raptured. He's now divided. Anybody who was on the fence with Obama, he's created this such an attitude towards Obama of dislike that these people now who are on the fence. Now are against Obama. Now Trump is left. It's like whenever you talk, you just can't. You should not be just allowed to talk for the sake of talking, especially in the public.
Are you favoring communism?
You know what? Some of it, yeah. Some of it, some socialism, yeah. Because it's getting ridiculous when you can just say whatever you want, not follow up. There's no responsibility on anybody's side, and I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of people just talking and running their mouths and not backing it up with
Johnny,
anything.
Johnny. This is talk radio.
What we're doing.
I know. It's all made up of people who do what we're doing.
You know, that's not true. I don't care. There's got to be responsibility.
Rush Limbaugh talks and runs
well, but at least he backs up what he says with his beliefs. I mean,
he backs up what he says with ratings.
But he's got people. He interviews people. I mean, I'm not saying the guy's right. I don't listen to him a lot. But I'm just saying, but a guy who's predicting where you can. It's like you can't yell out fire in a movie theater.
Or a rapture on a billboard.
Right. You shouldn't be able to. You should not be able to. But yet, these people are allowed to do it. They create panic, and I would love to know how many people sold all their items.
A lot.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
But you know what? I believe that I should have my own religion, Davinism, and you should sell me all your stuff.
You could. That's a problem. You could have that.
I will not take you up to heaven, but I will if you give me all your stuff. I will take you on a trip to Six Flags.
There you go, and you'll get free passes to the next comedy show.
Free passes. See, now you're thinking, John.
But that's
you can be my prophet.
But that's something I could see. That's something that you could. That's tangible. You could have
Davinism. Believe.
Sure. There you go. But this guy's ridiculous. So I'm just tired.
See, now I have better excuses for him. I think he should have said, you know, Jesus was about to rapture us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people believe that, but instead he got shot by evil space aliens from Mars, and at this very moment Luke Skywalker and Buzz Aldrin are flying in the Starship Enterprise to avenge his death.
Wow.
I think that would have been more plausible.
And you know what? There would be two or three people who would actually believe that.
And
that's
those are the
scary part.
Those are the people I want to deal with.
Those are the people that you need to deal with, absolutely.
You don't think that's better than invisible?
I think it's all the same. I like that one better.
You know
it's
how many
more
fans
creative.
Luke Skywalker
it's
has?
More creative. I like that. I like Star Wars.
He should have hired a comic.
I don't like the Invisible Man. I like Star Wars, so I'll go with yours.
Well, you know what? Let's get a little political. Jesus was about to rapture us, but at the last moment, God put the kibosh on it because heaven is running at a huge deficit.
There you go.
There'll not be enough heaven dollars to take care of the raptured seniors.
Not enough marble castles and gold castles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, we have to make cuts, and the first cuts we're making is people coming up to heaven.
Right.
I think that would have been good.
Well, though, some of these people, if he allowed some of these people like camping in there. They all have a lot of money. They could finance it.
You think Campion gets his own room?
I think they go to hell, but I mean, it'd be with Leatherman.
Well, that's
what
Satan said. We had Satan on the phone last week.
Satan's place, yeah, so we tried to and it didn't work.
Satan always listens
my,
to our
my
show.
My Satan did not work.
I might have to lend you my Satan.
I had to yell at my mother about that. She's horrible at doing Satan.
Tune into Watson and Watson as Johnny yells at his mom.
Yes.
About
yes.
Satan.
Yes.
And then this is the last excuse, because right. I really thought about this, because I feel bad for Harold Camping. I mean, here you are, 89 years old, destitute, liar, two-time loser.
Right.
Last one. I think he should have said the rapture occurred, we're in heaven right now.
That would be nice.
All along, we've been in heaven.
We've been in heaven.
Heaven is what you make it. For us, heaven is an increasingly divided and broke country that celebrates Snooki. In Jesus' time, it was angels and clouds because that's what they thought heaven would be. But for us, it's an endless reality show and celebrities and politicians engaging in countless sex scandals. It's what America loves.
That's
this
our heaven.
Is heaven. Welcome to heaven, America. Heaven now with 100% less Jesus and twice as much governator.
There you go.
wouldn't that be a better heaven?
That would be the. That's a good. I'll applaud that. That's a good heaven. That's our heaven.
That is our heaven. Matter
and send me to hell, please. What's interesting, we're talking about heaven and hell, and these microphones are H-E-I-L, these stands.
No, they're Heil.
Well, Heil, even worse.
Yeah, well, you know, there you go. Listen, when you have to march in an orderly fashion to hell.
These microphones are in an orderly fashion.
It's funny we bring up Nazis. There's a segue.
Is that the segue?
This just happened this morning. I heard this in the morning when I woke. Tiki Barber.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear this? Tiki Barber did an interview,
right?
And he compared, because he's had a whole lot of issues. Him and his wife got divorced and everything. He was messing around.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiki was hiding out in his agent's attic from the press. He was hiding from the press, and he compared himself hiding from the press to Anne Frank hiding in an attic from the Nazis.
Wow, that's...
This is what Tiki's doing on the road to comeback. This came out today.
This is so unbelievable. These guys are just ridiculous, these athletes. That's why I hardly watch sports anymore. I'm so sick of these little babies. I'm tired. You're high now. I mean, I'm sure his attic was...
It was his agent's attic.
Yeah, his agent's attic. Oh, please, give me a break. You know, stop with your crying. Go back to work. You don't own the team. You go back to work. In fact, you know what they should do with this whole strike? Instead of our lock out whatever it is, instead of them deciding who gets the extra billions, why don't they just put it in a fund and make ticket prices cheaper? Why don't they make it affordable so people can go actually watch the sport? Don't give me this. I'm sick of these guys. I don't watch them anymore. I basically turned off the sports.
What? They should put that money towards billboards, which will announce the next end of the world, which is October 21st. Use it for a good cause.
Well, you know what's going to be the end of the world if football season doesn't start? That's going to be like the end of the world.
It's going to be terrible.
Are you kidding me? They'll be crying. It's like, you know, but we do, you know, I blame ourselves. We are the problem. People in general.
I haven't done anything.
No, we are the problem. Because
you're the problem.
Just like government, in my opinion, their objective is to keep us in organized disarray. As long as you and I are arguing about, everybody up above us can look down and go, okay, well, they're all confused.
You think the NFL is? That's what
I'm talking about. The NFL, which is a government-run industry.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's oversight. It's oversight.
Well, everything is oversight.
Absolutely, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, as long as people up here who are way above us can keep us arguing and
oh, sure, it's class warfare.
Right. So exactly. So you know, the thing is, I'm not buying into it. I'm not going to the games. If I can tell people don't go to the games, I'm for it. I would love us as a people to strike on everything. Forget gas for a week. Forget going to baseball games for. Can you imagine?
Well, hold on. Not everything. Don't strike this show. We still need you to listen.
Well, you know what they should do is go to comedy shows. That's a problem. Like, the entertainment industry is taking such a hit. But meanwhile, and in the sense of comedy, I know football and that's supposed to be entertainment, but people going to see live shows. They can't do it. They can't do it.
It's too expensive.
It's too expensive.
Even though it's really not expensive.
It's not, but it's too expensive. They cannot justify because our name's not in a jersey. It's not, you know, they'll justify someone of like, you know, let's say like a Seinfeld or something like that. Okay, which, you know, they'll go see. But to go see your local comics, they won't do it because, and I understand it, they have no money. There's no, look at the restaurant. The restaurant business is taking such a hit. And that's our business involved. Mm-hmm. We're all, you know, together on that. And save your money from going to these stupid sporting events. Come out to a live show.
Well,
Come see a comedy show.
I've been very fortunate. As you know, a lot of Side-Splitting Productions, which is my company, now I'm doing an infomercial. A lot of our customers, our clients, are restaurants, and they have really good food. So they actually combine, because you've performed on these shows, really good food and really great comics at an affordable price. And knock on wood, these shows are busier than ever, but that's probably because these restaurants do something that a lot of the clubs don't do. They value their customers. They want their customers to have value for the dollar. We just stop looking. Value for the dollar, what? And also, and I'm, you know, I make sure I have good comics on the show. A lot of these times, you know, you've been on these shows where only a couple of the comics are good. You can't, everybody has to be very good on a comedy show. When you're laying out $10, $15, $25, $40, $50 for a night of entertainment, there's no margin of error anymore.
Right, but also, what you're talking about a show that, and the show is great, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about I'm talking about freestanding comedy clubs. I'm talking about comedy clubs like, say,
the business model's broken.
Well, it's done because again, everything. I mean, look, you can't even get in your car nowadays to go anywhere because gas is too expensive. People are out of work. They can't even afford to get into a car to go look for a job. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. So why can people on a Friday night, they want to go, they're going to have to drop $30 or $40 at a club, you know, to go, which is actually a good deal for a good...
For live entertainment,
right.
Sure.
But you think about it, in order for a club to maintain, it has to be a consistent thing. And people just can't do it anymore. The club owners can't do it. So the whole industry gets hit.
I mean, I don't want to get too... I mean, as much as you and I could really go on for quite some time about the crud that is the comedy.
Well, I'm not talking about the comedy. Just use it as an example for overall.
Listen, you know, but by the same token, movies are still doing really well. Because it's a perceived value for the dollar.
Yeah, but the thing with movies do a great opening weekend. If you look at the drop off from, like, say, I'm not talking about like a big blockbuster. That might feel good. But you look at a movie like comes out like, that will hit like whatever millions of dollars, and then you look the next week, it's like 50% down. I mean, it's just like there's no consistency because people I feel just can't afford to do it on a regular basis. They just can't do it.
No, you got to keep on expanding your market. Right. But which is where we're going to go with this here, and then we're going to go to break. But, you know, the one thing that the sports teams traditionally have, whether it be baseball, football, basketball, hockey, what they traditionally had was they traditionally had that season ticket holder fan base,
right,
which they could count on their 15, 20, 40, 50, 60, 70, so however many thousands of people that would consistently pay money just to be there. What the secondary market has done, your StubHubs and your other sites is, and I know this with me, I used to be a Jets season ticket holder. Don't need them anymore.
Right.
I'll pick and choose what I'm going to go for.
Sure.
So I think that these teams, I mean, you look at the Yankees. You know, we both like the Yankees.
Right.
A lot of empty seats there.
That wasn't
the case a couple of years ago.
Lots of them.
Because it's too expensive.
Right.
You know, so the people who have the money are going to have to start to realize that those of us who don't have the money can't support them anymore.
Right.
They're going to have to do things a little bit more enticing. You know, when the owner of the Mets says, you know, we're losing $70 million a year, that's a problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, too, I think, too, technology has made it where people don't even have to go anywhere anymore. You have so much.
Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm watching Netflix on my Wii game, on my Wii. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I don't even have to leave anymore. You don't have to go out to get. Because, you know, here's the funny thing. Like, let's say what Blockbuster. Let's say even if you were going to rent a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go out, you rent a movie, so you're already spending money driving. You're doing all. And then, you know, you pass. Oh, let me grab a little some popcorn for the movie. You know, now it's like you just turn on the Netflix and let me see what I got. I mean, there's a whole trickle down effect for everything.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I don't even have the Netflix.
You don't.
But I have like every movie channel that's cablevision.
Right. Why leave?
You know, I don't even watch the movie. I have like a bunch of movies on my DVR. It's mostly reality TV.
Yeah.
I'm guilty. You know, I saw on TMZ that Ronnie punched the situation in the face when they were in Italy.
Oh, good. Well, you know what?
And now I can't wait for the next season of Jersey Shore.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, we've gotten to a culture of where we just want to see stuff like that. We get so sucked into it. And people are mad at these
But entertainment is built on confrontation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your radio show, Watson & Watson, I mean, it's built on confrontations between you and your mom.
Absolutely. But all I'm saying is, like, I'm not mad at these Jersey Shore guys. Listen, throw me in there. I'll go in there.
You're a little too old.
I'll go in there. No, I don't care. We'll have some. I'll go in there. Why not? I mean,
I could see you doing well in that.
But the thing is, I would do it. And you know what? Even if it's like these guys who are making all these money, don't be mad at them. Be mad at yourself for watching them. Everybody's putting down the show. Turn it off.
Well, we like to live. Listen, at this point, our lives are not what we wish they were, so we like to live vicariously.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, who wouldn't want to be, you know, the situation? I'm sure you don't have a lot of brains and you look like Popeye,
right.
Well, but you're out drinking and people and you're making $5 million a year for being a goofball.
Absolutely. I'll tell you why, though. For as much money as that guy has, he makes zero, has horrible taste in women. You ever see the girls that he picks up on that show?
Well, listen. I mean, I don't think girls with self esteem are gonna fed up with the situation on one night stand with
all
the
come on, bro. You gotta make a $5 bill. Let me see you walk around with someone.
But those girls aren't. You know, listen. Kim Kardashian isn't gonna be on an episode of the Jersey Shore.
I'm not a fan of hers either. Let me tell you something.
Well, she's fine. She just got married. She just got engaged to a New Jersey Net.
Did she really? Good.
Chris Humphries.
Good. Get her off the mark.
She's doing well.
I'm tired of her. I really. She's another one. That whole family. I'm so sick of them. Bruce Jenner, he looks like one of the Kardashian girls.
Bruce Jenner looks like a Kardashian girl?
Isn't that the husband?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like a woman. You're going to tell me he doesn't look like a woman?
Well, when he wears his short triathlon shirt.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the face. He looks like he's porcelain.
I don't know. He's got a good little career going.
Oh, please.
He's got Kris Jenner running, you know, around with the daughters and everything. I don't even watch the show anymore.
I'm just going by what my mother reports because she loves all that crap.
Speaking of crap, we will be back. You are listening to Davin's Den on WTBQ. We will be back after these commercials on with Johnny Watson. Stay right where you are. Thanks.
Just take a couple breaks, a couple seconds.
Oh.
Start up. Having fun?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't care. Just keep going. We'll just riff it.
Memorial Day, library porn, moving in with the parents.
Library porn? What's that?
Hotels. You want to talk about hotels?
Sure.
Did you see this? Katy Perry's hotel demands?
No.
We could talk about comparison that with some of the stuff places we stay.
What's our demands?
I'll read it to you so you can react to it.
And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den on WTBQ 93.5 FM, 1110 AM on WTBQ.com. I am joined today by the very funny, talented comedian Johnny Watson, who also has his own internet radio show, Watson & Watson, which will be later on this evening at 9.
At 9 o'clock tonight.
9 o'clock.
It's on, can I tell you what it's on?
Yeah.
It's on blogtalkradio.com.
Blogtalkradio.com. So when you are done listening to my show and Psychic Cindy from 8 to 9, mm-hmm. you can go to Blog Talk Radio.
Tune right in.
And you can hear Johnny and his mom talking about a bunch of things.
Yell at my mother.
Probably, yeah. It's more like therapy. I've listened to the show. It's very good. And it's very easy for people to call in. Johnny takes all callers and everything.
All at the same time.
Well, I've heard that too. So, John, before we went to break, we were talking kind of about these celebrities.
Right.
Kim Kardashian and Bruce Jenner and everything.
Right. Sick of them. Right.
And the different life that they have.
Right.
Compared to what we have. How, you know, basically you feel everybody who's got is kind of looking down on those who don't to get us all fight amongst ourselves. And, I kind of agree with that. But to go along with that theme, you know who Katy Perry is?
Yes.
The singer.
Yes. Married to, Russell Brand, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. She has hotel demands.
Yeah, of course she does.
Here are the hotel provisions. When she checks in, there must be a 5-star property with 51 rooms booked,
mm-hmm.
including a presidential suite, presumably for her.
Wow.
5 junior suites, all with requests for an upgrade, and she needs free internet service. And breakfast must be part. Listen, she wants those stale Danishes. She wants the continental breakfast. If you were staying in a Motel 6, you could see Katy Perry.
I think those demands are absolutely excellent, and you should start off at the Red Roof Inn in Flint.
The
Michigan,
Red Roof Inn in Flint,
Michigan, with those. In fact, one of my demands when I stay at the Red Roof Inn in Flint, Michigan, is no gunshots.
Really?
Yes, that's my. Are they demand able
to? I've stayed in Flint. I don't think they can live up.
They're
to
not. They always can. That's why sometimes I have to check out early.
Where do I stay in Flint? I stay at the Motel 6.
Yeah.
In Flint.
Now, they used to put us up at the Yoder.
I didn't do the Yoder.
They used to put us up at the Red Roof Inn. One time I went to the Red Roof Inn, and there was a guy standing outside my door who'd just been shot.
He'd just been shot?
That's my hotel's Katy Perry, okay? I get people who get shot standing outside the door.
Did you hear the gunfire?
No, I didn't hear the gunfire. I roll up. Me and Steve Marshall.
Okay.
We roll up there, and next thing you know, there's this guy standing by my door. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, man, I just been shot. I said, well, go over to another door in case they come back. I said, don't stand by my door.
Listen, you might bleed on the cigarette-burned comforter. I cannot have that. I don't know.
Go into the lobby, make a phone call, do something. Just stay away from my door.
Here's a quarter. You're going to need a payphone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, these people, she's a one-hit wonder, basically. And it's not even that good of a song. But because there is no music nowadays, this is what the standard is. So she makes all these demands.
Well, John, you listen. Now, people, when we roll into places, because you and I are comedians, and sometimes we're treated very well. People, but people tend to think that we live the glamour life. They think we're getting paid tons of money,
right?
Jetting into all these gigs.
Absolutely.
You and I have traveled together. Actually, Johnny took me on my first road gig ever. We went to Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yes, we did.
From Jersey, I made a fat $100. But this was so long ago, you could actually drive to Wilmington, North Carolina, and back, pay for some gas and food, and still make some money.
Right.
So Johnny took me on the first gig. But now Johnny and I. And a lot of comics, you don't know. Sometimes you have to do the 15-hour drive.
Right.
Sometimes you're not staying in the hotel, John.
Yeah, right.
What's happening?
A lot of times you're sleeping in your car.
In the car.
And let me tell you something. Best places to sleep, the Walmarts.
Walmarts?
Walmarts and the Flying J truck stops are great places to sleep in the parking lot.
See, my motto is, last night I slept outside a Holiday Inn Express.
That's not bad. I've done that before, too.
You sleep outside of the hotels? All you vagrants out there that are listening to this show, what you need to do is you need to get some of your Ramada, Holiday Inn, those keys, the plastic keys.
Right.
And then what you need to do is, like, if you want some breakfast, you stagger in, you get yourself a free continental breakfast.
Absolutely.
You get a little Danish, maybe some eggs if it's a good one, run into Katy Perry.
That's right. If you're at a Flying J and you have a headshot, you can get a free shower.
Is that really true?
Yes, very true.
I've seen you work your magic before. You say, I am a comic.
I worked that angle.
You got us a free buffet on the first
I sure did. Not even know. We were both like, we barely had our feet in the business, and yet we're making demands like we were rock stars.
Well, how dare us drive 10 hours and expect to get a free meal.
And the guy argued with us. They argued like, no, we don't do that. Well, now you do. All right? Now you do, because we're hungry and we have to do a show.
I thought that was standard operating procedure, but you were the wily veteran to me.
Well, you know,
at that point,
absolutely. So it was.
I think the now I've stayed in some nasty hotels. I mean, listen, we've stayed in some very nice hotels.
Mm-hmm.
I've slept in my car. My mom and dad are listening, and they're very upset about this. But listen, if it's for a couple hours, you got to sleep in a car.
Right.
But probably the nastiest hotel I ever stayed at was actually outside of this country.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually in Korea.
Right.
When I was doing one of my tours for the troops, first tour for the troops, it was in Chinhae, Korea.
Right.
And they put us up off base. When we were in Japan, a lot of times we stayed on base, but in Korea, they put us up off base at this place called the Hole in One Hotel.
Right.
Had nothing to do with golf.
Was that the row in one? Row in one? The row in one.
See what you did there.
I attempted. I burped, though, at the same time.
Is that what that was? Yeah, was that an Asian burp?
Didn't come out well.
A little too much lo mein?
But you people knew what I meant.
You people. You people listening to your highfalutin houses and cars.
That's right.
So, but no, this they actually put us up in a hooker hotel.
Yeah.
Where hookers did business.
Good.
This is where the U.S. military.
Good. Well.
So they are making cutbacks, ladies and gentlemen. It's just going to the comics budget. So we check in there. Now, the first thing that really impressed me about the hole-in-one hooker hotel was when you go into the stairs, there are hooker business cards on the outside of the stairs. Now, I am impressed by hookers who want to advertise.
Mm-hmm. Well. You know, you not being in the military like I was in the Navy, I got to see that was common practice.
Business cards.
Common practice, advertising like that for Philippines, Korea, Japan. It's common practice. But remember,
juicy girls.
This is how they make their money. They find out because Americans are so stupid. We go into there and we just want to partake and they get us and you know that's what.
But hooker business cards on the stairs of an establishment.
Absolutely. What they do in Vegas, why not in Korea?
John, we checked into this hotel, and you know how, like, your crummier hotels, most hotels, they'll have vending machines in the halls for chips and pop and soda and all that good stuff. We had vending machines too, Johnny, but full of sex toys.
Well, hey.
French ticklers.
Right.
You know, things that'll make you go, all sorts of stuff.
This was
in the halls. Oh, the halls were in the same with the room.
It's crazy. The question is though, like if your dollar gets stuck, do they give you a refund? Or
I think if your dollar's stuck, they're okay with it. I think if something else gets stuck in the machine,
you got a problem. That machine was not for that.
So I go into my room. The manager falls. This is all true. The manager follows me into my room. Now again, I'm in Asia. I walk in with my sneakers.
Right.
The manager starts yelling at me because I've disrespected the room because I didn't take off my shoes.
Mm.
I really don't know if I should be yelled at when there's a French tickler like a couple feet down the road.
That's insane. It's again, priorities.
Now, there was not – the television, not so much. There was like one American or one English-speaking station. That went out. But there was, and this is true, Asian porn.
Wow.
On the basic – you know, one of your agents, you know, we don't do that in America.
No, we don't. We don't.
But it was not good.
No.
It was not good because if you haven't been to Asia, they block out, they pixelate the best parts.
Right.
I'm going to keep this clean. And so what they would do is they would – listen, again, I didn't have Oprah to watch or something. It wasn't like I was missing out on American TV to watch bad Asian porn, people.
Right.
It wasn't like that. But instead they would have this woman giving oral treats to a zucchini for 20 minutes.
Well.
That's what it was.
Full of vitamins and minerals.
It did not put me in the mood. It made me hungry for a salad.
Right, you wanted a salad. It's like,
I was hungry.
It's like, where's the balsamic vinegar?
The worst part was I was with Dennis Ross.
Ah.
And Dennis somehow got an eye infection.
Ah.
So I don't know what Dennis was putting in his eyes.
I don't know what I don't know what you were putting in his eyes.
I know. We had separate rooms.
Okay. Well.
That's another thing. You and I have shared hotel rooms.
We have. We shared a beautiful place, though, in Minnesota.
We had that.
Right.
You were a very – and I will talk about that in a second. You were a very dear friend of mine, but I will tell the listening audience, if you ever have an opportunity to share a hotel room with Johnny Watson, pass on that.
Really?
Yes. Because we were sharing a hotel room in Pennsylvania, separate beds, because you insisted. And and it's the middle of the night, and you're snoring like a mofo.
Really?
You're snoring like a mofo.
I've heard that before.
And apparently you got startled, and you raised your arm up in the air like you were doing the flamingo.
Really?
If you will.
Really?
And you knocked – there was all these books, and all these books went crashing down on me, I screamed like a little girl, and you looked at me like I was the jerk for waking you up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I am a horrible sleeper.
So
I knocked out a bookshelf. I must have been fighting a librarian
in my dream. I don't know what you were doing, but it was terrible. Now, we did – Now, you're right. You and I spent a month on the road in Minnesota together.
Right.
For a company that's no longer in existence.
Are they not in existence?
What was it? Video Buddy. Video Buddy. Right. This is when DVDs were really big, but they were pushing their thing for kids on VHS.
Right.
And I actually saw one of these at a garage sale.
They were a little bit behind the times.
I saw a Video Buddy at a garage
sale. Did you really?
Part of one. I was going to get it.
Ah.
So, but they put us up in a very, what was it, a Residence Inn?
It was, where it had like a loft. We actually had a loft and everything.
Let me tell you Johnny's loft. Pimp hand.
Mm.
Johnny's a good looking guy. He can get girls, kinda. But that's not where But that's not really where Johnny's expertise walks in. Johnny surveys the situation and says, listen, we're going to be at the same place for a month. There is a maid who makes cookies sometimes.
Right.
Johnny flanagled it so that we had our own personal cookies every day.
Every day.
How did you make that happen, Johnny?
Well, because I'm kind of attractive. And she was just very nice. She liked
us. But she looked like Schwarzenegger's.
She was very nice to us. She made sure we had cookies every day. And it was nice. It was a nice little treat, wasn't it?
Listen, well, that's the only reason why I would ever stay with you again.
That's the only reason why I stay with me. That's it.
You made me feel. You made my wife, girlfriend at the time, very uncomfortable.
I did.
When we were in Minnesota. Because I was in the top loft.
Right.
You were on the bottom loft.
Right.
I guess I was looking for my briefcase or something.
Yes, the briefcase.
I yelled down to you, my girlfriend, wife now is on the phone. I said, Johnny, where is my briefcase? And you yelled up, it's right here by the fire where you left it.
Yes.
That moment my wife had, girlfriend at the time, had a lot of questions.
Well,
she'd always suspected Johnny and I were close.
Well, you know, we listen, the friends that stay together, stay together.
I guess. There you go.
So.
Besides the Flint, have you stayed in other nasty hotel rooms?
I stayed in a place in, it was the most disgusting. It was so bad that I can't even really go into it in here. But so like,
clean it up, come on.
Well, it was, it was actually when my girlfriend at the time came to Spirit Lake in, where's Michigan or Iowa, wherever it is.
Okay.
And I swear to you, we get there and we walk in and there's bugs flying around.
Oh.
Yeah. The bed was unmade and there were certain deposits all over the sheets.
Yes. So the type of things you might find at the hole-in-one.
Yes, exactly. And there was a business card. No. But it was absolutely the most disgusting place that – and for me to say it's disgusting.
Well, you've slept in some disgusting
places.
I've
slept in some horrible places. And for me to go – and it was just absolutely unbelievable. And then and I you know, you had a complaint. And they actually gave me a hard time about it. It was like their only
– they gave you a hard time?
You know, I said, look, come in here and look. There are bugs flying around. Look at these sheets. It was just – but that's some of the stuff that we have to deal with. You know,
did you ever do the Thorogood Inn in Virginia Beach?
No, I didn't. I think they closed up.
They did close before I had a chance. They used to put us up at a Ramada, and you know, if you don't stay in a lot of hotels, you might think Ramada's good.
Right.
Once in a while, you get a good Ramada. Basically, at this point, I think Ramada is Indian for overpriced crap hole. I mean, I have been solicited for in that parking lot, and this is in a main area, not like parts of Flint where it's dangerous.
Right.
I mean, I have been solicited by a girl for oral treats in their parking lot.
Right.
I checked in one time. I tried to check in. The first room, the phone didn't work.
Right.
The second room, they gave me this all the same time. There was a long black Indian hair. On the towels.
Right.
And the third time, they gave me a third room, there was cheese and crackers with cheese whiz every place.
Well, there you go, a little snack for you.
I went down to the lobby, I go, listen, you guys just aren't even trying anymore.
Right.
So when Katy Perry makes these type of demands, I only hope I can be such a big macha, which is a Yiddish for bigwig, that I can demand these type of. I mean, my demands are like, hey, can you put the cap on the cheese wig?
Right. That's it. Are the crackers fresh, at least 4 days old or something?
Have you ever stayed in these places where they use like well water and it smells like sulfur?
Absolutely. It's
disgusting.
Is that
not the worst?
It's disgusting. But listen, but this is what we do. This is why this business that we're in, it's not something you choose. It chooses you.
Really?
Because who would want to – it's a place that we have to stay, that some of the places we perform, why would you even want to do that?
I don't know. It's not for the money.
It's not. It really isn't. It's just there's such a something that's ingrained in you.
I think it's masochism.
Yeah, it could be. But the problem is we're so stupid we don't even notice it. That's the problem with us.
I think you're right. Listen, so my message to the kids, school's coming to an end. Kids, stay in school.
Stay in school. Don't be a comic.
Now we are coming to the summer. We got Memorial Day this weekend.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. I have no idea.
Are you excited?
I guess. I mean, I don't like the winter. I hate winter. So I am
excited. But you would not like it here in Warwick, New York.
I hate
or
the
all
winter.
Of Orange County.
I hate it. I hate it so much. I'm sick of the cold. I'm sick of being cold. So I am excited about the summer.
What are some of your best childhood memories of summer?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I spent, you know, down the shore, just that smell of the boardwalk, you know, like when you're heading down the seaside.
Not where the kids from Jersey Shore hang out. That's a different smell.
Our Point Pleasant, our time, you know, when you're little, I always remember like just we'd be driving down there and the smell of the boardwalk. You weren't even there as you were coming over the bridge and just smelt the boardwalk. And to me, that was just like, it used to get me so, you know, wow, this was great. And then just spending lots of time there playing, you know, friends would have a house, or you didn't even have to have a house. You'd go down there and meet people at a house.
So these are your college years, your teenage years.
Well, these are, even as a little kid, we'd go down there, you know, and so, I mean, I love the shore down there. You want 80s music? You love 80s music?
I know you do.
Go down the shore. That's all you, as soon as you get there, you're hearing Def Leppard and U2 and it's just.
Well, the good thing about when Johnny hears Def Leppard, he actually gets to hang out with the band.
Ah, yeah, well, it's true. What's his face?
With Poison.
With Poison, and we hung out with the guy.
No, not we.
I'm talking about me and Kevin Malinsky.
I got the tickets. Yeah. We were sitting in the rain.
You guys were in the rain. We ended up sitting back with
Brett Michaels.
Thank you. I just forgot his name. With Brett Michaels, me and Kevin, and we also hung out with the guy from Quiet Riot.
No, the guy
before he, not that night. I'm talking about another time.
Oh, really?
So I have a habit of being able to get along with these musicians.
And screwing over your friends while
they're sitting in the rain. What do you want? What am I going to do? You guys are in the rain.
It's amazing because Johnny's cell phone wasn't working that day.
It really was not. It was not. I forgot the whole story. I think the battery died.
You forgot the whole lie?
I forgot the whole story. What a lie? What are we going to do? Let's not bring back bad memories. I apologize to you guys how many times. I feel horrible.
And now I drag it out on the radio.
Yes. I mean, I felt horrible when I knew you guys were that mad.
Yeah,
if I would have known that you guys were going to be that mad that your friends friend didn't get, you know, you were upset with your friend because he had an opportunity to hang out with the band. I would
have
never
bring his friends or alert him or alert while they sat.
It was
in
like
rain.
Listen, it was like I had one like it was like an attack on Bin Laden's fortress. There was one way to get in. You had to go now.
Really?
I had to leave everybody else behind.
Really, SEAL
it.
Team
we
Six.
Went, we had like
really?
SEAL Team Six too.
Really,
I had to shout at the devil.
Here's the difference between SEAL Team Six and you.
What?
They didn't leave anybody behind.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Sometimes, Johnny left everybody.
Listen, my SEAL Team Six. Sometimes you have to leave casualties behind.
Casualties behind. Listen, guys, there's not enough room on the chopper for everybody. Sorry.
Brett Michaels said only two. Only two.
Sorry, guys. Maybe you can hang out.
Well,
with
you know the thing though. Damn, it was funny though. If we would all been there, and your wife, you would have kept her. Honey, you stay in the rain. We're all going in.
Why? You saying I couldn't have controlled my wife?
No.
You think she'd be all over Brett Michaels?
You would have pulled the SEAL Team 6 move.
No, not on my wife.
I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
Not on my wife. She loves the Brett Michaels.
She had Joe Curry to hang out with.
Well, we had Joe Curry, myself, and my wife.
In the rain.
And I got you the tickets.
You did.
Because you're a jackass.
Well, I paid for them.
Yeah, well, you did, but...
Right. But you did get them for us.
Stink. All right. You stink. My fondest summer memory, and that happened over the summer, and that was not a fond summer memory, getting pneumonia while you partied with Brett Michaels.
Yes.
That was not a good memory.
Yes.
Probably went on the bus, too, you little freak. My buddy, you know those, like, cicadas, those bugs
yes.
that make noise, those big, you know, ugly bugs, they fly blind? My buddy Elias, when we were little kids, used to take those bugs, and he would rip off some of their wings, and he would throw them at us.
Ouch.
As hard as he could.
Wow.
And Elias had a good arm.
Mm.
And if you don't know what a cicada looks like on the inside, it's like green spumoni. Just splat all over
the place.
Yeah, so that's what my summers are like. Running from Elias as he's chasing us with the cicadas. So now when I hear them in the July and they're making the noise, I get a little shiver.
A little nervous.
A little. Elias might be around the corner.
A little shell-shocked.
When Elias was in a generous mood, he wouldn't wing them at his dear friends.
Right.
He would just put them in the middle of the street so a car could run over.
You know what the beauty of now is? Let's say you were that age right now.
Mm-hmm.
You could took him to the bully beatdown show.
He wasn't a bully. He was smaller than me.
But you could have had him on the bully beatdown show and watched him get choked out. I love that show.
That
show I like. That's a great show.
That's a good show.
That's a good show.
The bully beatdown.
Bully beatdown.
Elias is a good guy. Just
all right.
That was a.
He likes to throw bugs at you.
How freakish is that?
It's a little weird.
The other thing that we used to do is me and Elias. I was a little girly when it came to bugs, but he would get like ants. And, like, bees. He would catch the bees.
Right.
And rip off their wings, and we'd put the ants and the bees in the middle of the sidewalk and have them fight.
Right.
It was like our own little insect MMA.
That's pretty funny, though. That's great.
They would be fighting, and me and Elias and his twin brothers, we'd be watching and have a good time.
Right.
Until Mrs. Muscoby, that's Elias's mom, came outside.
Right.
And then with one flip-flop, whoosh, right across the bugs, game over.
Game over.
You know that's who won? Funny. Not ant, not bee. Mrs. Muscoby. Mrs. Muscoby was the
was
queen
over.
Of insect MMA.
That family hates insects, don't they?
They really do, apparently.
They're waterboarding the crickets.
It was a quick death. it was a quick death. But that is pretty much the time we have here.
Wow. It went by fast.
It did fly by fast. You've been listening to Davin's Den. Johnny, where will you be this week? And please tell the folks about your internet radio show.
Okay, well, the internet radio show is Watson N. Watson, blogtalkradio.com, 9 o'clock on Monday and Thursday, tonight. I was supposed to be in Jim Thorpe this week, and of course I don't have to. I think it's Folly's Restaurant in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. And that's it, man. Come to blogtalk.com, blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, Watson and Watson Show, and that's it.
All right. I would like to give special thanks to GW's in Chester, New York, and Success Martial Arts in Chester, New York.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, Russ was in here. We were brave. He's the sensei from Success Martial
Arts.
Right. We were like breaking wood. And
nice.
Everything. Yeah.
Nice.
So,
excellent.
And GW's is just a great place to hang out and party, especially on the weekends. Next week, we're going to have Joe Curry in studio.
Wow.
Yeah. He's been in studio before. He's from Race Odyssey. And again, also, you've heard him on Opie and Anthony Show. So I'm bringing in vets. I got people from Watson & Watson,
yeah.
Opie and Anthony Show, all sorts of good things going on. This Friday, I will be at the Red Oak Diner in Hazlitt.
Whoa, you bragger.
I am playing a diner baby, and it's like my fourth time at the diner.
Get the deluxe.
You get the deluxe. You could see me with the cheese fries and the big cake.
Beautiful.
For tickets, you can call 732-335-9360. This has been the first official installment of Davin's Den. The motto is still the same. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us, tell no one. Either way, keep on listening. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Thanks, bye.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you. I didn't have to wear my glasses.
Good. I can take them back. I have the other ones at home.